Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, big hour coming up. Hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house, home, Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this Wednesday around the country here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio around the country. CBS Sports Network on the simulcast. Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. At Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Big hour, little baseball, little football. Phil Simms joins us next segment from the NFL on CBS. And we'll get a thought, bunch of thoughts on Week 15. We'll get a bunch of thoughts on the Gerrit Cole signing right now with a guy who is 5 years away from going to Cooperstown. Amazing career, 19 years, 250 wins, six All-Stars. Generally thought as one of the best teammates. You've heard this so many players said about CC Sabathia, he's the greatest teammate I ever had. So you have the great statistical performance and the fact that everybody loves him. He's with us here because the Gerrit Cole signing and the parallels when he signed with the Yankees back in the day. Big man, what's happening, CC? How are you today?
Good. What's going on, fellas?
We are all good. We also haven't had you on since you retired. So congratulations in retirement, man. You had a hell of a 19 years in the big league, Cy Young, a World Series championship. How you feeling about the fact that you don't have to get ready for another season in about 5 months?
I'm feeling good. Like you said, I don't have to get ready for another season, man. It was getting hard, you know, that grind of the offseason. So, you know, as you get older in age, obviously you got to do more stuff off the field. So, yeah, it's good relaxing with the kids, you know, hanging out. Now I'm here at my daughter's basketball game, so it's just, you know, transitioning to dad life. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm loving it.
Nice. You're going to do dad life for a little while, but then you're going to get bored. What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do with yourself now that you have all this free time?
Man, I have no idea. I want to travel a little bit. You know, I'm going to keep doing the podcast. You know, maybe some, you know, some TV stuff or, you know, talk some sports. I'm a huge sports fan, so I love all sports. So, you know, maybe get a chance to do that at some point. But just for right now, I just want to hang out, man, and travel a little bit and, you know, get a summer. I haven't had a summer off since 1997.
Wow.
So I want like a summer vacation, like just to hang out with the family and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's nice. See, just like, you know, I know Tracy's trying to get your wife to come to Tokyo with us when I go over for the marathon. Come take a trip to Tokyo
with
us.
Go run the marathon.
No, don't run. Just come hang out with us.
No, I'm definitely not going to run. You know that. I can do stuff like that now. I'm trying to push Amber to start training so she can run with you. I'm trying to go.
See? You heard it here first. Hey, CeCe, now, when you came to the Yankees in 09 and coming off of Cy Young, there was a humongous expectation for you, I think for the team. You know, in the context of Gerrit Cole, kind of following a similar path here to New York, hoping to bring a championship. It's been a while since the Yankees have won one. What's he going to face when he gets to New York in the locker room, but also from like a media perspective standpoint?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a huge deal. Obviously, I think, you know, I just remember the first morning I woke up after, you know, I agreed to the deal and it was all over the place and it was just the biggest news, and I wasn't used to that. So, you know, I know today he's probably just, like, thinking, like, man, what did I get myself into? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you sign with the Yankees, especially with that amount of money, it's going to be a huge story. So, you know, I think, you know, you just got to get adjusted, get ready to deal with this media. But I think once he gets here, he'll be fine. I mean, you know, the locker room's good. The clubhouse is great. These guys are the guys in the clubhouse are good. The team is good. You know, the organization's great. So I think, you know, having the big expectations of the big contract, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking until you actually get here and see, oh, I got Aaron Judge behind me. I got Gleyber Torres. I got, you know, I got some help to help me, you know, try to get to this championship. that's the ultimate goal every year.
Yeah, yeah. Talking to CeCe Sabathia, so obviously CeCe, great experience with this. The one difference, CeCe, is that when you came over after the 08 season, you had Mark Teixeira with mm-hmm. you. You had AJ Burnett. Mm-hmm. Now Burnett was good; he wasn't quite your quality, but Mark Teixeira was a verified superstar. Not that you can hide. You're still 60 feet, 6 inches away, and you're a big man. You're not going to – you can't hide. I get that. But you had some other guys to kind of ease into with. If the Yankees don't make another big move, and I personally don't think that they will the pressure be even more amplified because it's just Cole coming by himself?
No, I don't think so because, you know, I think when I came in, we needed to add Tex. We needed to add, you know, Swish, AJ. This team that you're looking at now, this 2019 New York Yankees team, mm-hmm. is basically a finished product. They're just missing an ace. So, you know, he comes in, does his thing, and the rest of these guys stay healthy. We're looking at a championship in 2020 for the Yankees, I think.
Oh, sing it. We'll be back at City Hall like we were in 2009 with Jay-Z, and you were up on that stage. I was there. It was incredible, man.
Is he performing again?
Hey, you know, here's the thing, though. Like, I look at... And I think a lot of people have this wrong, CeCe. And I've heard this a lot on the radio driving in today, and I've heard it really since the season ended. Well, the bullpen failed the Yankees, and okay, whatever. Yeah, I know a couple of guys got touched up. I get that. But my thought, CeCe, was that since the Yankees didn't have, and Tanaka's really good, I understand that. He's got a big heart, but he's not going 8 2/3 and 120 pitches and striking out 13. He's just not doing that. So I think the Yankees bullpen, they just got a book on them. They saw them too much. So I think that's even more reason why you needed somebody like Gerrit Cole so the bullpen could go back to being the bullpen, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, you're adding somebody like Cole and getting Monty back, getting my old butt out of there, you get some more innings throughout the season to help these guys stay fresh. You know yeah. what I mean? It's a long season, and, you know, you get these guys a little overexposed during, the middle of the summer. It gets tough to get out in October, so... You know, just adding that stable piece and having Seve come, too. We didn't have Seve last year, you know. Mm-hmm. So having Seve for, you know, 30 starts, hopefully. You know, adding Cole, having Monty, you know, having Tanaka. I mean, I know, you know, everybody says, you know, he's not whatever or whatever. But for me, Tanaka is the guy.
Yeah.
If there's one game to be pitched, I want him on the mound.
Yeah.
You know, I played with him the last however many years and just watched how he's battled and, and every time we need a big out, a big game or whatever, he's there. So, you know, he's definitely one of the guys for me. So I think just adding, you know, Cole and lengthening out the rotation is definitely going to help the bullpen and help them get out come October.
You know, last year, CeCe, really the last couple of years, the off-season signings were slow coming. And it felt like, man, what the heck is wrong with Major League Baseball? It's changed this year. Strasburg signed. Obviously, Gerrit Cole just signed as well. But other than those stories, which are big stories around Major League Baseball, the biggest story is the Astros and this whole sign-stealing thing that went on last year. What, from a player standpoint, and obviously you guys played against them, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. It's like I said, I mean, I said this before, sometimes I wake up and it's one of those things where I don't care about it. You know, we lost, it is what it is. You can't go back and play the game. And then sometimes I read some of these reports where the technology that they were using is like, it's crazy, man. Like if they were getting buzzers and they had monitors downstairs and all kind of crap, it's, you know, it gets a little tricky. But, you know, losing to them, you know, two out of the last 3 years was tough. And, you know, we just have to wait and see what more facts come out. And,
yeah.
You know, we have to form a better opinion then. But, you know, right now it's just kind of up in the air, just waiting to see if, you know, more facts come out, if they can actually prove what, you know, all these allegations or anything. But, man, it's just crazy because, you know, sign stealing and getting a sign from second base is something that goes on in baseball.
Yep.
But not to the extent of, you know, what they're getting accused of.
You know, I never played baseball. I mean, I did, but I stopped when I was, I don't know, 12, 14, 13 years old or something like that. So for the lay people out there that are listening to this, what advantage, how big of an advantage, because I know it's an advantage, but how big of an advantage is it if, say, Jose Altuve knows that a high fastball is coming? How big of an advantage is that for him?
Yeah, especially to a guy like that. Like, the guy's the MVP.
You yeah.
know what I mean? So if he knows what's coming, you pretty much got no chance out there on the mound. And, yeah, I mean, if you got a whole team that knows what's coming, they're going to put some good at-bats on you. It's not necessarily – you know, hitting home runs or doubles or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just taking the pitches that they're supposed to swing at. You know, the ball's in the dirt, getting some weak contact. You know, it grinds the starter and it makes them, you know, throw more pitches, get them out of the game quicker, and you get to the bullpen.
Correct, and that's what so many people lose sight of. We're talking to the great CeCe Sabathia, hanging with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Listen, I'm with you. If the catcher's a little sloppy and his shin guard's kind of open and I can decipher what's being thrown, that's on him. If I'm at second base and I can see it, I can, you know, get something to the hitter, my arm is out or down, that's fine. When it's that sophisticated, that choreographed, CeCe, I think I'm more angry than you are. I said this the next day, and I didn't even play for the Yankees. I think this is Rob Manfred's most pivotal moment as commissioner. He's got to prove that he's got a backbone, and if this is proven out, and I believe that it will be, then AJ Hinch has to be suspended. The GM's got to get bounced. Like, I think that this must be, they must hit this as hard as they've hit even the steroid era. They have to send a message here.
No, I mean, if this gets proven out, that if it was to that extent and whatever, you know, all the allegations, I mean, I think you do, because what, you know, with all the technology that we have now, I mean, what deters another team from doing it? You know what I'm saying? If the suspension or the penalty's not stiff.
Yeah.
So I think if it does come out that they can prove all of this stuff, yeah, I think it should be some hefty penalties for sure.
You got to drop the hammer. Let me ask you something about Aaron Boone. Every Yankee manager goes through this. Billy Martin went through this. It died down a little bit with Joe Torre because he won so much, and then it eventually got cranked up at the end. Same with Joe Girardi. You know, listen, Aaron Boone's won a lot of regular season games, 100, you know, 100 back-to-back. Now the pressure really starts, and now he's expected to win a World Series in the next year or two. I know you know him well. He seems like he's built to handle the noise, but take us inside of Aaron Boone's mind. What don't we know about Aaron Boone that really reinforces he's the guy to win a World Series?
I really can't take your side as mine, but I mean, I know he's a guy that played here, obviously, you know, hitting a big homer and, you know, being able to handle playing here, I think, you know, enables you to be able to be the manager here. I think it was pressure from day one for us to win the World Series. So I think, you know, he's done a great job, you know, coming in here with a team that was, you know, pretty much set and ready to get deep into the playoffs. And, you know, I thought he should have been manager of the year this year. You know, we had so many injuries this year.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, the guys that were going down. And, I mean, you know, Everybody.
Andujar.
Everybody that went down. Yeah. And we still managed to, you know, win 100 games, win a division. So I think that's all him, you know, and I think he don't get enough credit. You know, I think people, you know, are quick to say, oh, he won 100 games 2 years in a row. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You can't discredit that. You know what I'm saying? So I think people need to give Boone a little longer leash. But, I mean, he's a great manager, and I think he's right there. They're right on the cusp. Of winning the World Series. I think they get it done in the next couple of years, hopefully.
All right, CeCe. Now, a guy that you know well who just got a new managerial job is Joe Girardi down in Philly. It's an interesting situation down there. I think there were high expectations. Bryce Harper kind of underperformed, but he turned it around. He ended up hitting 33 or 4 home runs last year, but didn't feel like he lived up to the number. What's Girardi got to deal with down there in Philadelphia with that cast that's supposed to win World Series, but last year they didn't even make it to the postseason?
No, I think Joe is great for, you know, he can manage superstars. You know what I mean? He had Jeter, A-Rod, you know, Sato, Tex, you know what I mean? So he can deal with, you know, the expectations of, you know, the city and the team and the organization supposed to win the World Series. And I think he'll do a good job of it. He's got Rob Thompson down there, who was the bench coach with him here. So I think they'll change the culture. Joe does a great job of including everybody in the organization. You know, he likes to bring the players' families in. There's a lot of kids in the clubhouse all the time. So that always makes it loose around the field, and it changes kind of the team's perspective.
Yeah.
And just lets you go out and play loose. So I think he'll do a good job down there. Obviously, he's got the talent. You know, getting Didi, you know, it's going to be huge. I think he's going to do a good job.
Were you surprised Didi ended up there?
No, not really. I mean, them, you know, not offering the qualifying offer, and then, you know, so I kind of figured that he would, you know, go somewhere. And, you know, him and Joe having that relationship, you know, I figured, you know, that would be a good landing spot for him.
Hey, by the way, what the heck happened to your Raiders the last couple of weeks, man? What's going on?
Oh, man. You know what? That's what the Raiders do, right? When you expect them to win. And you know what? I went out to that game, the Jets game.
You did? Oh, yeah, you did. Okay. All right.
I was hyped. I was, you know, I brought the whole family. I had 18 tickets. We go out there. I left at halftime. Unbelievable.
We destroyed you.
It's my whole life. That's being a Raider fan my whole life.
See, that's
it's like when they get to the expectations where they're supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Supposed to win a game.
Yeah.
Get to the playoffs. Then they let me down.
You think Derek Carr's the guy moving forward as they go to Vegas, or are you not sure?
No, I'm not sure, man. I think we may need to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
do you guys think?
I think that's
for
sure. No, that's for sure, TC. You guys need to draft a guy. Even if Derek Carr is going to be there for a year, you got to draft a guy.
I don't disagree.
To put some pressure on him. By the way, he was just getting – they're just getting you ready for Vegas, you know? CC going
to
bring 18 – you're bringing 18 people. You're going to spend, I don't know, a couple thousand bucks. A
couple of thousand. Yeah, right? and then
when you're in Vegas, you're going to waste it, you know? So that's just what you did. You just did it a year early. It's all good.
He could have gone to the track across the street and bet a few horses and lost him quicker.
Exactly.
All right, man. Listen, we know you're watching your daughter play hoops. Thank you so much, CeCe, for carving out what was a really interesting 18 minutes. Congrats. I know your boys with Teak, so you guys talk all the time. But congrats again on a phenomenal career, a class act, a big-time performer. I miss watching you play, but I know we'll be talking down the road. Thanks a lot, man.
Indeed. Be good, CeCe.
All right, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Okay. CC Sabathia. Yeah, he's going to be missed, man. He's going to be missed.
No, he's got a presence about him.
Yeah, he did.
He's just awesome.
Everybody loved him. Tough when he had to be. Yep. Soft when he had to be. Right. Soothing when he had to be. Guy's a legend. All right, coming up, this guy's a legend as well. Phil Simms, Super Bowl legend. NFL Today analyst, week 15. Let's get away from the baseball, get into the football. If Phil's run of the Ravens, would he play Lamar Jackson tomorrow night? We'll start with that. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Teaky and Tierney's 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. We're going to hook up with our buddy Phil Simms here in a second. I just saw this during the break, and I want to slip this in because we talked about this with CC Sabathia. And if you want to go check that out on the podcast, go to radio.com, Apple iTunes, get it to your buddies. Obviously, Sabathia is phenomenal. Talked about Garrett Cole. And we asked him about the Astros situation with the cheating, mm-hmm. the allegations.
Yep.
And I just saw this tweet during the break. Jason Stark, who was with ESPN for a long time. He's part of The Athletic now, MLB Network, et cetera. So he tweeted this about 30 minutes ago. Jason Stark wrote, Manfred calls the Astros probe, so I guess he spoke with Rob Manfred,
mm-hmm.
the most thorough investigation the commissioner's office has ever undertaken.
Wow.
End quote. Nearly 60 witness interviews, 76,000 emails, but said it's impossible to predict how long it's going to take. More interviews need to be scheduled.
Wow.
So at least you know on the most basic level, they are taking this seriously. Just saw that. I thought the timing was interesting based on our convo with CC. All right, let's get a convo with our guy, Phil Simms, who is always good with us, always carves out a little time. What up there, Phil? How are you today?
Well, what's up? Same old stuff. Football season. A lot of good stories, a lot of games. I'm always looking forward to the weekends. And what's the subject we want to talk about today?
Well, I have to give you the proper introduction. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Two-time Super Bowl champ, former New York Giant icon.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, lead analyst back in the day for all these years.
Yeah.
And the star of the NFL on CBS. You see him on Tops. We got a lot of credentials for Phil.
Yeah, do you say the star of CBS's pregame show when you talk to Boomer?
No. Boomer, like you more than Boomer. I have no problem saying that. Like, I like Boomer, but I really like you. There's a difference.
Well, I appreciate the kind words.
You know what I'm saying.
I am fantastic. You're a Jet, so you know I like you.
What'd you say?
I said, I mean, you're not a Jet. I know I like you.
Whereas
Boomer was a Jet.
I hear you. Well, that was just a unbelievable Monday night. I know your audience doesn't always want to hear about local teams here, but the Giants beating the Philadelphia Eagles, who are truly so dysfunctional. I don't mean dysfunctional. A little bit. But the injuries, the way they're playing, the emotion, and they let it get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one play that stuck out in the game. You remember when the Giants ran a flea flicker?
Yep.
Nate Solder.
If they block it,
Nate Solder.
Punt the ball down the field, fair catch it, and backpedal to the end zone for a touchdown. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Phil, you think Eli's going to play next season anywhere?
My guess would be no.
Yeah.
No.
Do you think he still can?
What's that?
You think he still can if he wanted to? Does he still have it?
I don't think he could probably. I don't think there's a spot that somebody's going to bring him in as a starter.
Yeah.
Unless it happens to be one of the few teams that are really bad who are going to make the change and draft the quarterback and do that. Yeah. But he's not going to want to be in that situation again like he was this year.
No.
I can't imagine that. And I think Eli, that was a, you know, a good outing by him against Philadelphia. If he plays more this year, that's great. And if he ends on the note the way he played against Philadelphia, that'll be great for him also.
Yeah, I agree, especially because this is the last home game that he potentially might be playing in this weekend. Tomorrow is a short week for the Baltimore Ravens taking on the inferior New York Jets.
Yeah, slip that
Lamar,
in, don't you?
Of course. Lamar
Can't
Jackson.
You say the Jets?
Yeah, I could. But, I mean, it makes a difference that they're inferior because of the question I'm going to ask Phil.
That's fair.
Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's clearly the MVP leader at this point.
Well, he's going to win it.
Yeah, I think.
Unless he falls down.
I think you're right. Know. But he has a quad injury, and it wasn't like he was running and he pulled his quad, so
no.
it was like he got bent over a little bit, so it's likely just a little bit of a strain.
He got hit throwing the ball. That's what happened.
That's right. Should he play in this game? Because I think he's playing because he has this like colossal chip on his shoulder, and he wants to prove that he is the guy that he knows he thought he could be, and everyone thought he wasn't, running back, wide out, whatever, you know, Bill Polian thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
Should he be playing?
Yes. If he's not going to cause further damage and if he can play, you absolutely play. You don't take a chance and lose that number one seed. That is really important, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens to have that, to get in that position. And yes, the answer to everything, unless that injury, like, oh, man, it's a little touch and go, sounds like it's going to be fine. I could tell by his facial expressions when he did his interview. He's not worried about it. And I think he kind of had a laugh, which was really cool. And, you know, too, I don't think he has a chip on his shoulder. I don't look at Lamar, and I've talked to him a couple times, but nothing great.
Yeah.
But he's not that kind of person. He just kind of... Oh, somebody said something bad about me? Oh, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll show him, you know. But
yeah.
he's not playing because he plays it because he makes it look easy. He's got tremendous talent. And, you know, I'm always going to be careful. I didn't get into it this past year very much about the draft and the QBs. But Lamar Jackson's highlight tape was not good. It was phenomenal.
That's right.
Beyond belief phenomenal. But some reason... And I let myself get talked into, too. Well, okay, maybe they're right and this and that. And they just kept going down. And, you know, he kept falling in the draft. And he didn't really want to work out for teams. And so that was all kind of strange.
Yeah, but he didn't want to work out as an athlete. He didn't want to do, like, the 40 and run routes and do all the – he wanted to do quarterback stuff.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, and, you know, I hear that story, Tiki, all the time. And, yes, there were a group of people – that said that, but that group was really small.
Yeah.
I think anybody that really followed the game, now I know there were a few that followed the game and said he should go to receiver, but overall, I didn't talk to really anybody, and I talk a lot on the phone when I'm looking at players, even during the season, that said, you know, he's got to go to wide receiver. And, you know, as that talk just, you know, of course, when Bill Polian said it, that drew big news.
Yeah, it did.
And everybody talked about it. And I honestly said, let me just go look at him again. And I looked at him and go, oh, my God. You know, look at that throw. Look at that throw.
Yeah.
They're not luck. He couldn't throw as many dynamic throws as he had in college. It couldn't be luck. And, you know, quite honestly, he still hasn't really he's not letting the football go. In other words, he's not just dropping back and throwing that football with pure confidence and, like, really ripping it in there. He hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, it's like he short arms it, right?
Well, he hasn't had to.
Yeah.
But I think as time goes along, we're going to see the running game in his career, and it'll be quick, I think. In other words, the transition. He'll run less, and his throwing will become more dynamic and more of who he is, but you're still scared of the fact that he could run the football.
Yeah, he threw some balls early in the year along the flats down the field where – I mean, he's dropping it through a keyhole. I mean, that's not luck. That is incredible arm talent. So,
well, he's got great hands.
Yep.
You know, he kind of grips the ball, football a little differently. And his go-to throw, the one that really makes him feel good and safe, is when he drops down and throws those little sidearm passes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his thing. Listen, that's his favorite thing. You don't see him miss those throws because that's where he really feels comfortable in doing it, and there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
And he can just kind of flick it with his hand. And we saw one against Buffalo this past weekend where he flicked it once, and they just go, hey, that he loves that throw. I've probably seen him do it 25 times this year.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's 15 and 20 yards down the field when he does it, too.
Yeah, no, there's no question. We're talking to Phil Simms, 15 years with the Giants, two Super Bowls. He's in the Ring of Honor with Tiki for the Giants, and he's part of the broadcast team. You know, really, I know he's going to probably laugh at this, but he was an iconic broadcaster. He still is. I mean, he was with Nance for a long time, the lead man, and Phil is awesome. He always carves out time for us. So I'm very curious, Phil, how you address this, how you answer this.
Oh.
The Pats, I know you know Belichick very well. The Pats video, we'll put quotes around the word scandal.
Right.
This latest episode, whether it's a real thing or it's still here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of this? What do you think?
Well, I think that I really feel confident in this, and I would bet a large amount of money if I was a betting man and somebody had a line on it that Bill Belichick and them had nothing and no information to do with this. Because Bill Belichick, it's so funny this kind of came out or whatever. You know, he loves the fact that his legacy, and he's done many things to try to correct some of the wrongs in his career or whatever, because he doesn't want to be remembered for those things. He wants to be remembered as coaching and winning Super Bowls and whatever. And last night, for some reason, I sat down and watched the Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, you know, whatever it was called.
On HBO. Yeah, we got to watch that. Yep.
The Art of Coaching.
It's great.
Yeah, we heard.
It's great.
We talked about it, but we have to watch it tonight. We're going to watch it, yeah.
So I just really believe the Patriots, everything they've been through, that they would never flirt with that. And you know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. But just by the way his attitude is towards it, the answers and all that tells me he can't believe here he is trying to put this offense together with the Patriots, find a way to win another Super Bowl, and with whatever he's got, that he's got to deal with this. And the disgust, let's put it this way. I wouldn't want to be working in the front offices of the New England Patriots this week. That's
no,
for sure.
I hear you.
No. Yeah, it's a good point. Look, we're not going to ask you the question, are the Pats done? Is Brady done? But the question that begs to be asked is, can the Pats figure out a way to pull through whatever this is that's plaguing them right now? They've done it every year, it feels like. How do they do it this year?
Well, they do it really – there's a few ways they can do it. They're trying everything in the world on the offensive side, which you see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to have a tackle-eligible reverse where he's going to throw it one week. I mean, it's – so I give them a lot of credit there. But accept who you are and be who you are. And that's what – it's about your defense. Play to your defense, which they really try to do.
Yeah.
But where do I start? Julian Edelman's going to be doubled probably for the rest of the year.
That's right.
People are going to take James White out of the game if they can. If they have the knowledge and if they have any smarts and they want to win the game, take him out of the game. You can do it. We saw Kansas City do that. And there's big things going on with the offensive line. That's another one. They can't block the tight end position. Well, this might be a 30-minute conversation.
I'm telling you, it's everything.
They can't block with the tight end. And one of their go-to things, which really made their little short passing game and over the middle so great, Tiki, and, you know, when everybody just moving right and they're outside zones. Remember Brady used to, they'd get a first down, they'd run to the line, set, go, and they'd run a play. It was always an outside zone.
That's right.
And every once in a while, they would fake it and throw it down the field. Or maybe a screen real quick. But haven't seen that this year. And so they can't block from the tight end position. They have nobody to throw it to because they're going to double the two best weapons. The offensive line, the center is hurt. That is a huge deal.
Yeah.
David Andrews being out, because look what Kansas City did. They put a defensive formation up there that says, okay, I think it was Ferentz at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to block our best lineman and one of the best interior linemen in the NFL. His name is Chris Jones, and good luck.
Yeah.
And one-on-one. So, man, that's a lot of problems right there. But remember what you have on the other side. That defense is still good. It's really good. And they can cover. And that's – you go with your strength and try not to expose your weakness. And you know, too, we got an older quarterback that's not that mobile. And I don't blame him. Hell, who wants to get hit? You know, I always loved that one. You know, if you hit Tom Brady, you know, you really affect him. Hey, no kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it. Hit me. I play better once you start hitting me.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, but you're a nut job.
That's because you're like a
you're
moose.
You're out of your mind.
No, you're like a moose.
You know,
that's why.
I'm being very sarcastic. Everybody goes, you don't mind it when you get hit. Oh, maybe I might.
Well, listen, I'll walk up to you on Sunday morning and I'll pop you. Make sure you're ready to do a segment, okay?
You know what? Good. Sometimes it took a good hit to get me going.
It always took it for me, Phil. Always.
But Phil, you know, the other thing, not to switch subjects so quick.
Yep.
There is a guy, he's only a couple games in, that I loved last year in the draft, just his physical talent, was Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, his two games they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, exceptional.
He's big.
He's cocky. He's confident.
He's got an attitude on the field. Tiki, could you see it?
Yep.
He's got this attitude, you know, and which is great. He's got a borderline big-time arm. Can throw it like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but he can be going backwards, and he did against Houston. He was backpedaling and threw a 40-yard line drive down the left sideline that was completed. And I just, you know, you put all that together, and he's mobile, runs around. And Denver, they don't even look like the same football team now when you watch them.
Well, right, listen, we're gonna put Denver on ice because we're out of time. We're actually late, but we ran late because it's you. We're gonna get back to Drew Lock next week. We'll let you finish that thought.
All good.
I'll see you Sunday morning on Tops.
I started talking about him, but great. Hey, Brandon, when you hit me this weekend, just don't hit me too hard.
Yeah, please. this guy's got catcher's mitts for hand. I'm sure he's not worried about my little skinny legs. All right, Phil. I'll see you in a couple days, man. Thanks, pal. Phil Sims, he's awesome. 2-time champ NFL Today on CBS. We're late, but it's worth it with Phil. Axe update is right now. Here's Rich. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a couple of AFC contenders, AFC South contenders. A nice battle between Deshaun Watson and the Texans as they take on the surging Titans, Ryan Tannehill. While others will see Kansas City, of course, the Patty Mahomes Show hosting Denver. Drew Lock, he looks pretty good. Plus other regional action. It all begins with JB and the guys setting up the day on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. You know, I heard, obviously, Phil Sims said that he would play Lamar Jackson. And I think that, you know, most times my mind, that's how, like, that's my reset as well. Like, play him. You know, if you're not sure, play him. Play him. You're an athlete. Play. But you're 11-2. All right? It's a short week.
Best record in football.
You've got the tiebreaker with the Pats because you beat them. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't think it comes down to it. You don't have the tiebreaker with the Chiefs. You lost to them in the first month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the Bengals next game, and then the Steelers. The Steelers, you can't take anything for granted, obviously.
True,
here,
but both teams you should beat.
Correct.
Because your defense is good. I mean, Dalvin has been amazing. Duck has been pretty amazing for the Steelers.
For sure.
But your defense is good.
Yeah.
You should get after them.
Yeah.
I agree with you. They should win out.
They'll be close to a touchdown favorite in that Steeler game if they're healthy, mm-hmm. probably inside 6.5, whatever. So the point is, you know, I understand we all want to see him play. I don't think you need him tomorrow night against the Jets.
I mean, need is one thing, and it's more about is he truly healthy enough to go, and if he's not, how, and he does play because it seems like he's playing regardless. He's listed as questionable, but he's saying,
correct,
I'm playing. So if he's fully healthy, because it was just a backup to the injury, it wasn't like he was running and like strained his, you know, quad because he was overextended he got hit while he was throwing the football and got bent backwards a little bit. His foot was a little bit caught. So if anything, it's more like a stretch issue as opposed to like some real damage. And that's why it was slow getting on the injury report, and then he's on the injury report, but then he's practicing, and he says he's full go. It's a short week, so you worry about, you know, swelling still being an issue. But this Ravens team is just – it's not going to be the same without him. I know they have a good defense, mm-hmm. and that's why I preface it with that. But their offense is – it's Lamar Jackson. It's his ability to – accentuate the run because you're worried as a defender about Lamar Jackson. So their running lanes are wide open,
mm-hmm.
right? He's turned into a really good passer. He's creative. He can that sidearm throw. And I was asking BT, as Phil Sims was talking about this, you know, off mic, was he a baseball player? Because I couldn't remember if Lamar played baseball. And I don't think
not to my knowledge.
Not to the level.
Not like Lamar or Kaepernick.
Exactly.
Probably like Mahomes or Kaepernick, yeah. And the other.
But he throws.
Andrew
like,
Luck was
but
pretty
he
good.
He throws like a baseball player.
Yeah,
like
a little bit.
Those throws are like baseball throws.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, how can you get down low like that?
And Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, except so. Yep. Like his game is so advanced that he is the catalyst. And if he doesn't play, I don't see this Ravens team being the same.
Well, they don't have to be the same. They just have to be 1 point better than the Jets to make sure you have your star quarterback ready for a run at the Super Bowl.
But I don't believe that.
The
Jets
are incapable of winning tomorrow night. Jamal Adams probably is not going to play. The Jets' offensive line is still a disaster. They have nobody that's really going to scare you on the perimeter. Like, mm-hmm. Listen, come on. I mean, I'd love to see the Jets steal one. I'd love to. Actually, I would love to just see the Jets not get embarrassed on national TV like that. I'm dreading sitting down, whether it's the stupid butt fumble years ago with Sanchez or the ghost comments with Darnold, you know, a month and a half ago. Every time my team plays on national TV, it's the Monday night game this year against the Browns without Darnold, who was out with Motto. We got absolutely destroyed. I just hope we don't get destroyed and embarrassed. But having said that, objectively speaking, you know, even when the Jets are fully clicking, the Ravens are four levels or three levels above them here.
Yeah,
pound Ingram, get RG3 a little bit of work. You got dynamic tight ends. You got a couple of guys who get behind the defense. Jamal Adams is not playing, as I said. Is it a calculated risk? Sure. The Jets are still an NFL team, and I guess they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody can beat anybody. You never know, any given Sunday, any given Thursday. But the greater good, what you're sacrificing potentially – I mean, if I'm the Ravens, I am the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
That's right.
In my mind.
You're right.
Why
now.
Why am I messing around with
right
that?
Right now, they probably are, to be honest with you.
I'd like to see the – Mike, do me a favor. Check out the updated odds for the Super Bowl. I want to see what the Niners are. Here's the thing, though. From a betting point of view, they have to. Can you check out the updated odds for the Super Bowl? Thanks, Mike. I would think that the Ravens have to be first. Even if Vegas views the Niners as a little bit better, the path for the Super Bowl in the NFC is so much tougher that you would think from an odds point of view – the Ravens would just have an easier way based on fewer teams that could clip them because nobody thinks the Pats are beating the Ravens. Maybe the Chiefs, and that's probably it.
So Ravens, 220.
There you go.
Plus 220.
Okay.
Pats and 49ers, 450.
The Pats.
Yeah.
I mean, Saints
are 550.
Who else? Keep going down the list a little bit there. What are they?
Saints are 550. They're fourth. Chiefs are fifth at plus 700.
What are the Titans?
Seahawks, Packers,
plus
Vikings.
What? What's the Titans?
Texans, Titans, Cowboys.
What's the number on the Titans?
Titans number is
plus 1,500.
Plus 350. 3,500, I'm sorry.
Plus 30.
They're tied with the Texans.
Dude, I might take that. That might be the bet to take. I'm serious.
I mean, you throw down $20, you know, you get lucky. Something wacky happens. I mean, you have
seriously.
A little juice the rest of the season.
That might
the
be
way
the
they're
bet.
Playing. And they're playing the Texans this week, so if they win that game,
bro,
they can win the division. They're in play for a home game.
If I was a betting man and wanted to just throw away $100 to entertain in some other way, and whatever other way I usually do, I'm going to waste that for a week and put it on something, that's what I'll put it on.
I hear you. It's Titans a pretty savvy move.
Tannehill's playing good football.
He's
playing
very well. And Derrick Henry's very good, and their defense is good. All right, look, just back to the Lamar thing here, because I think we fundamentally disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, and I'll
tell you in a second after you finish why I think Lamar will play.
I would actually, now I'm going to really have to put my fandom aside. This is going to sound ridiculous. I would rather see the Jets lose than to see Lamar Jackson get hurt. The Jets are inconsequential to the season.
That's right.
I want to see Lamar Jackson. I want to see him win the MVP or at least finish up this last month and lock up the award. I want to see what he can do with the playoffs. Yeah, of course, Jets will feel good for today, whatever. I want to see the Ravens at full strength. Could you imagine a scene where he's limping off the field? Why would you risk that?
Yeah. Well,
you don't need to.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I actually think,
you don't know.
I think what's going to happen is that this week – because we saw this a few times when the Baltimore Ravens played inferior teams, he's going to stand in the pocket. And he's going to throw for 320 yards just to prove that he can, right? Because Lamar Jackson's game plan is try to hit me,
mm-hmm.
and if you get a little bit compromised in your lanes, I'm out.
But the Jets do hit you. They have the number one rush defense.
True.
It's like the one thing they do well.
I know.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to catch him speed-wise, but philosophically, their angles are good enough where theoretically he could get popped tomorrow night, even if it's a 20-6 game in the second quarter.
But I think that's even more reason why he wants to play.
I understand his point of view.
Yeah.
There's a head coach and a GM. At what point do you get – I'm just asking.
If he thinks he's healthy enough and then he can stand in the pocket and do what he has to do, he's going to play.
You fully trust him?
I think he's on a mission. I do.
100% he has the call.
I think 100% he has this call.
Okay. Did Patty Mahomes have the call when he didn't come back the week that he probably wanted to come back?
No.
And if not, why would Lamar have it, not Patty Mahomes?
Because Lamar has a quad injury that's not severe.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Mahomes dislocated his kneecap, dude. The fact that he was walking the next day was a little crazy. That night, it was
crazy. Third hour coming up, Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.